Okay, we're going through the Old Testament verse by verse. We're up to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Just to bring us up to speed, remember, the Lord is preparing the folks to go into the promised land. And we're taking this in pretty good application ourselves, that the Lord is preparing us to the new area He's taken us to. So we want to be very sensitive to what the Lord is trying to show us. Just a little bit of review from chapter 14. The Lord had told the Israelites there, in that passage, what they meant to Him was the big focus of that. That they were His children. They were a holy people. They were a chosen people, He said. They were a special treasure to Him above all peoples. And it was because of who they were that the Lord was letting them know these things. And they were not supposed to live like the pagans who are going to be all around them. So we got good application from that too, that we are so special in the eyes of the Lord that He doesn't want us to live like the rest of the world around us. They're stuck in areas of sin, and that death is just encompassing them and dragging them down. And the Lord wants us to live free from all of that. So we get some really good applications as we see how much these folks meant to the Lord and how much we mean to the Lord as well. Now, remember, one of their visible things they had that the people around them would see would be their dietary practices. And as they ate different things and in different times and ways, that would be a message to the folks around them as they were asked questions, I'm sure, of how come you guys eat this but you won't eat that, you know? And they're able to say, because our God directs us and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And He's teaching us right from wrong, and what He says is okay and what He said is not okay. So that's a visible sign to them. And if you remember, what's our visible sign that we're to have in the church today as God's people? It's that love for one another. And our love should be so strong for one another that people see that. And they say, wow, why are you guys so different? How can you care so much about people like that? And we can tell them the same thing. It's because our God directs us that way. He tells us we're supposed to be filled with love because He's filled with love. And I use that to let them be drawn to the Lord. So we're supposed to be set apart as well. Also, the Lord reminded them about all the blessings that are involved in tithing. The Lord spent some time on that. So just a quick reminder of some of the benefits we have of the tithing back then and how giving applies for us today. It would teach them to fear the Lord because they knew that all their blessings were only because the Lord gave them in the first place. So a good reminder that as you're giving that back to the Lord, it's only because you can only do that because He gave to you first. So that was one of the lessons. Also, that the tithing was to be that time of rejoicing, and it was never to be a hardship. That wasn't what the Lord intended. He wants us to be joyful in knowing that He blessed us and we have opportunity to give back to the Lord. And through that, the Lord also brought up the poor and the Levites, how they were supposed to take care of them. So in that also, He said that the tithing was to bless the people. They'd help them learn to love God and also to love people. So all of that was involved in some of those lessons. But remember again, as the Lord got to the end of that section, that the entire teaching where there was to remind them that God wanted to bless them. And what was the point in that? It wasn't so they had all this stuff. That wasn't the idea. The Lord wanted to bless them because He loved them. And they were His children. And you know, we've talked about that. Every time the Lord blesses you or me, and we notice that, we should remember God's only doing this to let me know He cares. That's why He's doing that. Okay, then we got to chapter 15. We got to start on that last time. We're going to pick up there a little bit again. But some of the things we saw just at the beginning of chapter 15, the debts were supposed to be canceled every 7 years. And the big reason for that is it's going to help the Israelites who among them who were poor, those who were in debt to them because they couldn't make it the way they were. So they had to indebt themselves in order to work the land and provide for their family. So the Lord made it so that every 7 years they would have this time of release of debt. And it was a time to help the poor folks out so they wouldn't become so discouraged and overwhelmed. And that's one of the reasons for that. So it was a beautiful picture of God caring for those who are hurting. So let's look again at the beginning of chapter 15. We're just going to read the first 6 verses, kind of get us up to speed where we are there, and then we'll jump back into the section here. Chapter 15, verse 1, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it, and he shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owned by your brother. So there's a difference between those that are in the family and those that are outside. And remember, we talked about that as a picture of us being in the body of Christ. If you come to Christ, you have benefits. If you're outside of Christ, you don't have those benefits of having your sins removed and everything else that goes with that. So we get application from that as well. Verse 4, it says, except when there may be no poor among you. And you're thinking, wait a minute, there's going to be no poor among the Israelites? We talked about this too, because it says, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. So he's saying, if you guys work this right, if you do what I'm telling you to do, there won't be any poor among you to begin with. Wouldn't that be wild to think about that? You had this principle set up by the Lord that every 7 years you've got to release the debt. So the 7 years comes by and nobody's in debt. Wouldn't that be wild? Wow. Yeah. So that's what the Lord said could happen if you do it my way. Man, what an amazing opportunity for the folks there just to obey the Lord. So verse 5 is a condition on that. This stuff will happen, he said, only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. Yeah, so how important is obedience to the Lord? It's extremely important. And he says you need to be careful to obey the Lord, and you know, need to obey him, observe everything with care. And it's all the commandments, not just picking and choosing there. And then come down to verse 6, and this is one, like I told you last time, if you mark your Bible, this is one you want to mark. It says, for the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. So the amazing promise God made to them was, if you do things my way, your nation will be not one of the most powerful nations, it will be the most powerful nation in the world. What an amazing promise the Lord gave to them. So this is where the Lord wanted to take them. That's why I said we need to keep this in mind and keep this kind of as an underlying theme for us, that God wants to bless people. He wants them to do things his way so they can see amazing blessings, okay? And let's not forget this too. The Lord blesses us every single day of our life. We're already blessed, okay? These are blessings that are above and beyond the, what I would call normal blessings, if there is such a thing as a normal blessing, okay? But let's go further in our passage here in verse 7. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, some of your brethren, don't miss that, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. It's a brother again. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Now, it's not all of his wants, notice, but it's his needs. And we got to point that out because we're in such a prosperous country. We get upset if we don't get our wants fulfilled, you know. But we're talking needs, which the majority of the world, they're just worried about, am I going to have food today and maybe tomorrow? That's as far as they go, okay? Yeah, we're mad if we don't get McDonald's or whatever we're looking for, right? I mean, but come on. We got to remember that the Lord shows us here there are needs that people have. And the Lord said, if your brother has needs, you're supposed to meet those needs and be happy about it. It says, open your hand wide and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Verse 9, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, there's the brother again, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you. So the Lord says that's an evil thought if you have an idea of, man, I don't want to let this guy off. He's indebted to me. He owes me something. I just don't want to let this go because I could be wealthier if I got the stuff he owes me. So the Lord says that's an evil thought. And if your brother cries out against you and said, Lord, he not only didn't release me, he didn't help me. Wow. The Lord hears that stuff. It says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor, now this is a blessing from the Lord in verse 10, saying, look, man, I want to bless you. I'm not removing your blessing. If you help your poor brother, I'm going to bless you more. Man, when you take these things to heart, it's like, why would you not do it God's way? And say, everything else aside, I'm doing this exactly the way God said to do it. I want to see what he's going to do. You know? So the Lord tells him, and notice those words, all. He said, I'm going to bless you in all your works and to all which you put your hand to. And verse 11, for the poor will never cease from the land. Now think about that for a moment, because the Lord let them in on a little secret. He said there back in verse 5, you know, that if you obey me, if you do this the way I told you, there won't even be any poor among you. But he said, the poor will never cease from the land. So he is saying that you're never going to obey verse 5. You're never going to do that. They would never carefully obey the voice of their God. That's kind of a sad thought, you know, because the Lord made the promise. It's like he said, I got this for you, man. And he says, but you're never going to get it because you don't want to do it my way. Wow. So the reason you think about this, and it's hard for us to carefully obey the voice of the Lord, it's because the only way to do that is to deny ourselves. And the problem is that our flesh is always there struggling against the Spirit. You know, so you think about this. What hope do we have then if we find it so difficult, if not impossible, to carefully obey the voice of our Lord? Well, you know what the answer is? We have to fully rely on God's grace. We were singing about that this morning. God's grace, his undeserved kindness. Man, that grace is so important, so amazing. If you want to get blessed sometime, read through chapter 5 of Romans and right into chapter 6, and you'll see the abundance of God's grace, and it just amazes you to see how full God's grace is and how much he's given us that we a lot of times take for granted or we overlook, you know. But you think about this, if we had to do what the Lord said here, to carefully obey his voice to perfection. He said, be careful to observe all these commands which I command you today. You know, if we had to do that, and that's the only way we would find these additional blessings, we're just not going to find them. Because our flesh wins sometimes, if we're honest, you know. We got this struggle against the flesh and the Spirit, and we wish the Spirit, we gave into the Spirit every single time. But sometimes through whatever circumstance, our weak moment or whatever it is, the flesh wins once in a while. You know? So we would say, Lord, I just missed another opportunity for blessing. And we do. We can't take that away. You know, our goal is still what the Lord said here. Obey him all the time, perfectly, every day, every moment. That's the goal. He can't lower that because we would drag it lower if we could. You know, give an inch and we'll take a mile. But we have to rely fully on God's grace. Okay, so the Lord let him in on that secret. The poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, he said, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Okay? Now, you know, the Lord has said this too in 2 Timothy 2, that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And, you know, that's such an awesome comfort for us. Because it's saying that that's just the way God is. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't stop being faithful to us. So even when we don't make it to that perfect, careful obedience, even though we're striving for it, but even though we're going to fall short, God's still faithful to us. His grace is so abundant. Okay, we just praise the Lord for that. So we can be very thankful that Jesus did all the work for us. He's the one who paid for our sins completely. He died on the cross. We get to receive the benefit. He did all the work. And we just thank him for that. Let's go further than verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, so they're a servant now that's paying off their debt, for 6 years they do this, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. It says, and when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. Man, look at the grace of our Lord. How giving he is, you know, and how caring he is for people. Because you think about that situation. I mean, we don't relate sometimes to this stuff because we got credit cards and whatever else we lean on sometimes. But here, these people work for a day's wage and they get the day's wage. Tomorrow, you got to work again because you need to get food for that day too. So, and they're thinking now, this guy's worked for you for 6 years. The seventh year is here. You release him. His debt's been paid. And now you say, okay, you know, be warm, be filled, and go your way. What's he going to do for food tomorrow? He's not working. See? So the Lord is taking care of this situation. He said, when you let him go, do not let him go empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock. You give him all that he needs. Now, and you know, I'm sure the Lord is saying, you don't get that little sick calf in the back there, that animal that's really messed up, and well, he's not going to make it too long anyway. Why don't you take that with you? You know, you're helping me out. No, that's not the point. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine press, from all the stuff that you've been making, give it. Give it to him. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. So this isn't the stuff that you, it's only you stuff. It's God's stuff God gave you to begin with. So be giving. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. You were just a slave. And the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. So they were to remember that they used to be slaves. And in that sense, they were servants too. And God redeemed them. And you know, if they think back to that moment, if we remember that too, when he set them free, what did he do? Did he send them out empty-handed from Egypt? No. He sent them with loot when they left Egypt there, right? So they plundered the people. They gave it to them, and the Lord called that plundering the enemy because they left with stuff, okay? Provision for their needs. So you think about this. How did God bless us when he redeemed us from our Egypt? When he redeemed us from our sin, when he brought us to Christ? I just read this section to you from Ephesians 1. It says that God blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We didn't come out empty-handed either, if you think about that. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You don't even need money to go buy more because God already gave them all to you. You already have every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Thank you, Lord. So how do you top that? You can't. Okay. So if the Lord did all this for us, then this should help us have compassion on people too. Right? Since the Lord has been so very merciful to us. You know, somebody told me one time, and I really took this as a compliment. I know some of you heard this before. But somebody told me one time, they said, man, you show people way too much mercy. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Because I know how much mercy has shown me. I don't even know all of it, but I know some of the mercy God's shown me. And if somebody tells me you're showing people too much mercy, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, because that's what you did to me. You gave me much more mercy than I ever thought I'd see coming. You know. So yeah, the Lord wants us to be giving to people because he's giving. And you're not going to come up short when you do that. The Lord says, I'll take care of you. Verse 16, it goes on, and if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you. So here you've got your servant. He served 6 years. It's time for you to set him free because his debt's paid. You've got to release that debt. He's good to go. But he gets to the end of the time. He says, I don't want to leave. And what's the reason there? Because he loves you and your house since he prospers with you. He's found a place where although I've been a servant, I've been a slave here working off my debt, you've loved me like a family member. You've taken care of my needs. You prospered me. I don't want to leave this. I want to stay. And it says, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant for how long? Forever. Also to your female servant, you shall do likewise. Now, in the New Testament, this is called the bond servant, by the way, for those who may not have heard that, but remind you that. In the New Testament, Paul referred to himself as a bond servant to the Lord. Meaning that he realized, I'm free to serve the Lord. I'm free. My sins have been completely removed. I'm free. But I want to serve the Lord forever out of love. I want to be his servant forever. And he says, I'm a bondservant. He's accepting that humble position to say he's always going to be that servant. So he called himself that. James said that, the brother of the Lord. Peter said that about himself. Jude said that about himself. And, you know, that's a real good lesson for us. These were followers of Christ who were saying they were glad to serve Jesus out of love for the rest of their lives. How long is their life going to go on? Forever, right? Yeah, so I believe every follower of Christ should have that same commitment of love for the Lord. So here's a good question we can ask ourselves. How committed am I to Christ? Do I love Him enough? And do I appreciate His love toward me enough to give Him the rest of my life in loving service to Him? Man, I don't think there's any answer for us to say, no, I don't. I don't want to do that. Do we realize how much He's done? Wow. Yeah, the Lord is laying it out for these folks here. Like I said, when you get this kind of talk from the Lord that He's given to these folks, how could you say no to any of this? Mercy sakes. Verse 18. It shall not seem hard to you when you send Him away free from you. For He has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. So this guy who wants to be, or this lady who wants to be your bondservant, the Lord says they've been worth twice as much to you. So you shouldn't, He says, it shouldn't seem hard to you when you send Him away. Then it says the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. So think about this. I thought the servant just said he wanted to stay with you forever. And yet the Lord here says it shouldn't seem hard to you when you send him away. You know, there's some real good spiritual lessons in this. Why set the bondservant free? Well, his debt has been canceled at the 7-year mark. It's done. It's paid. It just said he was set free from his debt, but he still wanted to serve out of love. So the bondservant basically became part of the family. You think about this picture. Okay? And they were worth twice as much as a hired servant. Somebody just went through the motions, did the job. I'm done. Let me out of here. I want to go. Okay? So think about this from Paul's perspective in the New Testament and how it relates to us. Okay? Paul called himself a bondservant. He was set free from his debt from sin, just like we are in Christ. But Paul was saying, I still want to serve the Lord forever out of love. Not out of paying my debt, not out of having to do it for whatever other reason, because his debt's already been paid in full by Christ. He wants to serve now out of love. What a beautiful picture. The Lord blessed us so much by rescuing us from an eternity in the lake of fire that we should be totally willing to serve Him out of love. After all, He rescued us because He loved us so much, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Man, God loved us so much. Now, notice the reason God told them this at the end of that verse 18. Notice His motive there. Don't you like it when you try to read people's motives, and if you're like me, you're wrong most of the time? But the Lord tells us here what His motive was for wanting them to do all these things. Then the Lord your God will bless you in some of the stuff you do? No, in all that you do. So He wanted to bless them in all the things they were doing, everything they were involved in. So how would you like that said to you? Okay? That everything you do, you will be blessed. I mean, think about this. What are you going to do today? Some might say, well, I'm going to cut the grass. God's going to bless you in that. Promise to bless you in all that you do. Well, we got to go out and get a different car. The car died or something. We just got to find a different car. God's going to bless you in that. I got to go pay the bills. God's going to bless you in that. What an amazing thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to say that to us? That He was going to bless you and me in all that we do. Well, He kind of does that if you think about that promise. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. He said this in the Old Testament too, just so you don't think this is something one spot there. Look at Psalm 1 with me. Don't think that we miss anything from what God's trying to bless people with. You know, and know that we're seeing this from Scripture. We're not doing this name it, claim it, pump you up, make you feel better about yourself kind of stuff. This is God speaking to us about real blessing. We're talking about spiritual blessing. A closeness with the Lord that you cannot experience unless you're willing to walk close to Him. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. And what's going to happen to this kind of guy? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, plenty of nourishment there, that brings forth its fruit in its season. You won't be fruitless. You'll always have that fruit when it's time. Whose leaf also shall not wither. You're always going to be healthy in the eyes of the Lord there. And whatever he does shall prosper. Wow! The Lord made it possible for people to find this kind of enrichment in their life from the Lord. But we got to do things his way. There's a condition of that. You've got to do things God's way. But if you do, the Lord promises amazing things happening in your life. Okay? So the Lord said there that I will bless you in all that you do. The Lord wanted to see this, that their obedience in the Lord and these directions he's given them, that as they enter the promised land, and there were going to be these additional blessings God wanted to give to them. But notice something here as they're based on that choice they have to obey him. Okay? Now, just like the last time we saw this, if God wants to bless us more than normal, he can, because it has to be our obedience, though. And we said this last time, too. If you remember, it makes you wonder how many blessings we missed. We cheated ourselves out of by not obeying, not doing things completely the way the Lord says. Now, when we see this, and like I see that, you see this, too. Every time we're going through these, the Lord says, I want to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Obey me. Obey me. I'll bless you. Obey me. I'll bless you. And it's additional blessings, right, from what we're looking at here. So think about this. Hopefully this motivates us to pray. Lord, help me to be as obedient as possible to you. And we should be able to relate to this. I think we talked about this last time too. As parents, we want our kids to be obedient. You know, do you feel like blessing your kids when they're not obedient? You don't feel like it. I mean, you have to. You're the parent. You got to feed them, right? But sometimes you don't feel like that. And this is the picture. God wants to have additional blessings for us. Okay? Go on to verse 19, back in Deuteronomy 15. All the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. It means you set them aside, you acknowledge these belong to the Lord. It says you shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. So you can't use that animal for work. Okay, and you can't shear that animal if it's got a fleece that you want to make some profit on or something. So the point was, with these firstborn animals, they weren't to make any profit off of these because they belong to the Lord. Now think about this. By trying to make some profit off of them, they'd be defeating the whole purpose of learning to trust the Lord in what the Lord's trying to teach them here. Because you're going to give away that firstborn, that thing that's so, it's probably better than the rest of the animals you have. And the Lord's saying, I want you to give that up. Okay? It belongs to the Lord. Okay? So otherwise, the Lord says, I want you to learn to trust me in this. And if you're going to take advantage of this, you're not going to get trust. Here's just something I was thinking about. Like, see people doing this. Somebody's saying, okay, I'm going to give this money to the Lord. All right? I've designated this. I've set it aside. This is what I'm going to give to the Lord. But before I give it to him, I'm going to invest it and make some profit off of it first. Okay? And it may sound like a wonderful idea, but again, you're missing the point that God is trying to bless you with. He wants you to learn to trust him. All right? So for you to make profit off it isn't trusting him. If you're in this culture here and this is your animal, and you're thinking, man, this is my firstborn, this is an amazing animal. Amazing. I can really make some money if I keep this animal. But I can't because this animal belongs to the Lord. Maybe I'll just make some money first. And they give it. Because see, you just made money off something that belongs to the Lord. That's his. You want to make money? That's his too. It's his thing, right? Yeah, so I was thinking about this. Can you imagine this? It's your birthday, okay? And your dad tells you, well, son, I've got a birthday present in mind for you, but I'm going to make money first before I spend it on that present that I'm going to get for you. That's okay with you, right, son? How would you feel? Man, wouldn't that hurt? What did dad just tell you? I want to make money. No, bless you. I want to make some money first. I love you, son. I want to make some money first. What's first, Dad? Money. Wow. Yeah. So, Lord, he's serious, and his plans are so amazing when you think them through like that. Why is he telling him to do this? Because he wants him to see you're first, Lord. Nothing else. Yeah, it's an amazing animal, but it's your animal. I don't need it. I got you. Why do I need the animal? Wow. Amazing. Verse 20. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place which the Lord chooses. So when you bring that animal to the Lord, you're still going to get to enjoy the barbecue. You know, God's not saying, I'm taking it all from you. I'm going to let you share it with me. He didn't have to do that either. Wow. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord year by year in the place which the Lord chooses. Verse 21. But if there is a defect in it, it's possible that firstborn may have something wrong with it. Okay? And somebody's probably saying, oh, that one's messed up anyway. God can have that one. Now, wait a minute. The Lord says if there's a defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. So don't even try to put that in the hands of the Lord. Okay? So you think about this. They were only to give the Lord the best. Okay? Because this is a picture of Jesus. Remember, the Lord does not want them tampering with anything that is a picture of salvation. Do not change a thing. So when he says this is mine and it has to be the best, it has to be the best. Because it's a picture of Jesus. And he was the best, right? He was sinless. He was holy. He was without sin. Do not tamper with that picture of salvation. Okay? Now think about this. Does it bother you today when people don't give their best to the Lord? You think about this. Some people don't mind even taking from the Lord rather than giving to the Lord. It disturbs me, and I know some of you guys, we've talked about some of this before too. Panhandlers come to the church, and they're scheming to get a handout. They're wanting to take from the Lord, but not wanting to give to the Lord. And that bothers me, and I for a long time wondered, why is that? It just feels bad, because you feel like you're being taken. I mean, you don't mind helping people that need help, but these panhandlers, they got a good story and stuff. But when I see this, I'm thinking, Lord, wow. You don't want to have people taking. You want people giving. That's what you want. Yeah. Now, and these people here, they're giving to the Lord. It had to be the best animal. And that was going to be a great act of faith on their part. They're going to have to trust God because they were giving up the best animal in their flock. The very animal that could provide more for them and for their family. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves, how am I trusting the Lord? Is there anything in my life that I have given to the Lord where I'm going to have to trust Him to take care of me and my family? Of course, the greatest thing you can give to the Lord is the rest of your life. You know, that's what the Lord really wants. That's what He's after. In Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, meaning your life, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know what? We can trust God with our lives because He only wants what's best for us. I mean, I've talked to folks. I talked to one guy one time that just really bothered me. He said, I'd never give my life fully to the Lord because I'm afraid where He would send me. He might send me to China. So he never fully gave himself to the Lord. He'd been walking with the Lord 20 years, but never fully given himself to the Lord. And I heard that and I just didn't understand. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? God knows what's best for you. If it's best for you to be in China, that's where you need to be. You know? You think about this. God knows what's best, but that doesn't mean it's the easiest. You think about this. How easy is it to be the best soldier? It's not easy. How easy is it to be the best mom? The best dad? The best spouse. It's not easy, but it's the best thing, isn't it? So give your life to the Lord. It's the best thing. Now, it goes on in verse 22, as Lars saying, what if you got an animal that's firstborn, but it's got a defect? Do not give that to the Lord. He says, you may eat it within your gates. So God gives them permission to have the barbecue at home. The unclean and the clean person alike may eat it, so whether you're cleansed at that point ceremonially so you can come to the tabernacle or not, the Lord says you can still enjoy this at home. He said, as if it were a gazelle or a deer, only you shall not eat its blood. There's one condition on that. You shall pour it on the ground like water. Remember, that's because the life is in the blood, and the Lord wanted them to see that that's important. You respect the blood. It's the blood of the sacrifice that gives you life, that covers your sin. And for us, you know, it's Jesus Christ. His blood washed away our sin. It didn't just cover it. It completely removed the sin. So the Lord wants them to respect that. And they weren't going to see that in the area around them when they got in the promised land. These, the pagan folks around there did all kinds of crazy stuff, and the Lord was keeping them from all the evil practices they were into. Okay, but the Lord is very, very clear here. He wants them to offer the best to Him and to trust Him in what they're giving. Now, in closing, I want us to look at Ephesians 1 and just take a be reminded here of how special we are in the eyes of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, because the Lord had told them, I'm telling you all of these things because you're my children, because I care about you. I want you just to have this on your mind as we stop this one section here in Deuteronomy. But Ephesians 1, if you look down to verse 3, this is for His children in the New Testament, the New Covenant here. Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Notice these same things that come right out of the passage the Lord was talking to the Israelites back there. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, His children, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. And the Lord has the same loving words for us in this passage that He was speaking to the people back then. It's because God is a God of love, and He wants to bless us, and through that He wants us to know that He cares. So I don't know what's coming this week for each one of us. I know what we're going to face, what we're going to have happen to us. But we're going to pray as we close, you know, that the Lord will let us see those blessings that come our way. And just to take that blessing and say, thank you, Lord, that you love me and you know me and you care about me. Because that's what He's trying to get across to us. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We just can't thank you enough for all the blessings that you've already given us, Lord. We didn't deserve a single one, but we're so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Father, this week I ask you to remind us, let us be very aware to the blessings you have. And as you bring them across our path, Lord, let us not miss the opportunity to say thank you, Lord. Father, give us that generous heart that you have to want to help people that are hurting. Help us, Lord, just to know that you're using us at that moment and you're going to take care of things. Let us not miss an opportunity. Father, we pray too, if there's someone here today who has never come to the cross, they've never come to Jesus, oh Lord, let them know how much you love them in their heart. Let them know that you're drawing them to yourself, that you want to remove every single sin in their life, both now and forever, Lord. Just pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they might come to Jesus and accept what He did for them on the cross. And just be able to say, thank you, Jesus, you died for me. You paid for my sins completely. Jesus, you said it is finished and it's done. You did all the work, and we thank you for that. And Father, I thank you you raised Jesus from the dead to prove that you accepted his sacrifice. And we thank you, Lord, for that and give you all the praise. If someone is here today, Lord, they don't know you, I pray, continue to draw them, Lord. Continue to bring them to yourself. Let that conviction of the Spirit do its work, that they might come to know you. Father, for any of the believers here today where the enemy's got us, he's been working on us, messing with us, and he's got us in some kind of trap. He thinks he's holding us down. I pray, Lord, you just give release today, that you would remove the hands of the enemy, the work, the chains, anything he's trying to do, that you would glorify yourself in that, Lord. Father, we do pray that you give us safety in the move, and we just thank you for everything going on. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.